Today is found in the second book of Kings, the 18th and 19th chapter. We were speaking to you last week about the sickness of Hezekiah. If you remember right, we were dwelling upon the words that Isaiah spake unto him concerning what he had prayed unto God, and how that God came back by the mouth of Isaiah to him and said unto him that he had heard his prayer, he had seen his tears, and that he would heal him. And the third day, he would again go up to the house of the Lord. And we find that God had promised to add 15 years to his life. And we find Isaiah commanding the people who attended him to lay a lump of figs upon the boil, and by this lump of figs being placed upon it, it would also take away the infection that he had, and he would be made whole. We have here in this, my hearers, that Isaiah is the only man in Scripture that knew just about when he was going to die. The Lord said he had added 15 years to his life. So he knew when 15 years was gone by, that particular year he would have to give up the ghost, and he would have to enter into heaven above. This man, he was greatly blessed, as I said, in his illness. He was given likewise the forgiveness of his sins. He was given the assurance that God would deliver the city out of the hands of the Assyrians. We find likewise in this, where Isaiah commanded them to lay a lump of figs upon the wound, that we are to use whatever God has given us in the line of medicines or doctors and physicians, what they use to cure us from any illness and disease that we have. We are not to discard means. Some people believe that if you're going to get better, why, you don't have to use any means. God is going to make you well anyway. But the Bible teaches us different, even in this respect, where this man had a promise that in 3 days he would be made well. They still had to use means to make him well. And so likewise we are not to despise the means. We are to thank God that he has given men wisdom and understanding in searching out various things that are very helpful and beneficial to mankind in keeping them alive and sparing their lives under the blessing of God. And now this man, Hezekiah, he wanted a sign from God. He wasn't so sure whether he was going to go up to the house of the Lord the third day, and he requested a sign. And God gave him a sign. The sign would be that he would cause the shadow of the sun to return 10 degrees backward in the dial of Ahaz. Isaiah, he cried to the Lord, and the Lord caused the shadow of the sun to return 10 degrees backward. And we have then in this, my hearers, that God is such a wonderful God in hearing prayer. He answered likewise Isaiah in praying unto him for this particular sign. Except ye see signs and wonders, the Lord Jesus says, ye cannot believe. Here this king, he needed a sign, yet after all what Isaiah had said to him, he wanted a sign yet from God. So often it is the case with God's dear children. They likewise have had a word from God sometimes in their heart, a promise, and still they would like to have a sign, a token, that it was going to be fulfilled. This is what Hezekiah desired, and God is so good and so kind as to give what we ask at times. We see in this that Hezekiah then was spared and was restored back and was given again to go up into the house of the Lord the third day. Oh, can't you follow this man, my hearers? There may be some of my hearers that have been deathly sick. Isaiah was sick unto death. Have you ever been there, my hearers? Some of yous have been. I know I've visited yous. And some of yous didn't have much hope or expectation that you were going to live. And now this man, he was spared. He was given to go up to the house of God. A better place you couldn't go to. God spares you if he restores you back from afflictions, from, I would say, the verge of entering into eternity. How thankful we should be that he has yet spared our lives. And haven't you dedicated your life at that time to the Lord? Hasn't your heart been humbled? Haven't you said inside, now the remaining days that I have to live, I will live unto this God who was so good to me as to restore me and make me well again. I hope that some of you have made a covenant with God in this respect, and I know you haven't kept your covenant. You've broken it time and again. You've forgotten all about what God has done for you, probably. This is what happened to Hezekiah. Further on in this chapter, we find that the king of Babylon, he sent his son to visit Hezekiah. He sent a present and letters to him because he had heard of the wonder that had been done in the land. What was that wonder? Why, Hezekiah had been spared. His life had been restored. And the other wonder was that God had caused the sun to go backward so that it shined 10 degrees different on the dial of Ahaz. These people in Babylon, they worshiped the sun. That was their God. And they thought that this God had helped this king and had listened to their prayers. And therefore, they sent this ambassage to this king. They came then with these letters and with this present to King Hezekiah, telling him of the wonder that happened into the land. And now when these people came, he was so lifted up in pride that these people honored him and paid him a visit, that he began to show them all the treasures that he had. He showed them all the gold and all the silver that he had, and he showed them also all the arms that he had and the soldiers and the army that he had and how prepared he was for war. This king then, Hezekiah, he did not speak to these people about this God who had saved his life, who had restored him back to health and strength, who had forgiven his sins, who had been given likewise to find peace with God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He never spake a word to these people, these messengers that had been sent from Babylon on this point. He showed them all the treasures of his house, everything that he had in his house and in his palace, he showed to these ambassadors that came there. How like man. Aren't we like that, my hearers? As I said, you probably have been restored back to health and strength. And now when somebody came to your home, it may be that you had a new home. It may be that you had something new in your house. You had something done in your house. You had some new furniture in your house. And what did you do? Well, you began to show it to these people. In pride, you said, look, look what we got. In other words, look how well off we are. You didn't say, these are the things that God has blessed us with. We poor sinners, God has given us everything we have in this house. You didn't acknowledge God, but you showed it in the pride of your heart just so that they would think well of you and think more of you. Now, this is what Hezekiah did. He didn't think about God anymore. He thought about the treasures and the riches that he had, and he was elated that he could show this to these people. He wasn't any different than you and I, my hearers. Oh, Hezekiah had the same kind of a heart as we had. How fickle is man? How forgetful is man? Aren't we forgetful of God? Hasn't each and every one of us something to look back in our past life where God has been so good as to help us? It may be an affliction. It may be in the way of providence. It may we saw no way out, and God helped us out. Something outstanding in your life that you would say then and then, God help me. Have you something like that? Your memory has to go back. You have to begin to think. You can't even remember it anymore, you say. So forgetful you are of that good God in heaven above. Yes, my hearers, such are we. And so was Hezekiah likewise. Forgetful of that God who had done him such goodness and such wonders in his soul. And now these ambassadors, they went away. and we find God sends the prophet. He sends he sends Isaiah to Hezekiah, and he says, who are these men that were here? Oh, he says, they came from a far country. He says, what did they see when they were here? Why? He says, I showed them everything that I had. There wasn't anything in my palace, he says, and in my kingdom that I didn't show to them. He says, I showed them everything. So, says Isaiah, listen, this is the word of the Lord. Everything that you have and everything that you show to them people shall be taken away and carried to Babylon. And your sons that shall become, that shall come forth from thee, they will be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Oh, God is so good, my hearers, to Hezekiah. How did Hezekiah receive that? Did he get angry? Did he fly up in a rage? No. He said, good is the word of the Lord. Isn't it good, he says, that we have peace in my times? He fell under it, my hearers. Oh, what a blessing to fall underneath the word of God. This is what Hezekiah did. Oh, this man Isaiah, he was a blessing sent by God to Hezekiah. Oh, you know it's a blessing if God don't let us go on in our pride, that he don't let us go on in our sins, and that he reproves us, and that he humbles us in the dust before him. This is what happened to Hezekiah. God took care of his dear child and seen to it that he was reproved and brought back in his right place. And now, my hearers, I spoke to you last week that this all took place while the army of Sennacherib was round about Jerusalem. Because God said to Hezekiah by the mouth of Isaiah, I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of Sennacherib. And now we go back to the chapter where we find that in the 14th year of Hezekiah, Sennacherib came up with a great army up towards Jerusalem. And he came into a city called Lachish. And from this city, he sent ambassadors to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, he sent word back to this king Sennacherib that he had offended him, and that whatever this king put upon him, he would pay him. So this king Sennacherib, he told him he had to give him 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold, which Hezekiah, he took all the gold that he found in the house of the Lord. He took the gold off the doors of the house of the Lord and the pillars that he had overlaid with gold. He took the gold off them, and he took all the silver that he had in his own house and all the silver that he had, that they had in the palace, his men servants and his maid servants and the courtiers that were with him. They all contributed, and they gave this king this silver and this gold so that he would turn back from Jerusalem and not make war against them. And now this king, he wanted to make war. He wanted to take in the city of Jerusalem. He had taken in almost every city round about there. But now there came a king up against him. And when he heard that this king had entered into his land, he left Jerusalem and he went to fight against this king. But he in the meantime had sent an ambassage of three men to speak unto Hezekiah. We find these men, a man by the name of Rabshakeh, he was the captain, and he came and he requested an audience with King Hezekiah outside of the gates of Jerusalem. But Hezekiah would not come out. He sent three men to him, and these three men, they were told to hear what these men had to say, but not to say any word in return. And now when they came out to meet these men, this Rabshakeh, who spake in the name of King Sennacherib, he demanded that they give up the city. He demanded that they surrender to him, because they would never be able to hold out against him and his great army. And he began to revile and to rail upon Hezekiah and upon the people. He was a very boisterous and a rude character, this Rabshakeh. And while he was speaking to these three men, they requested him that he would speak in the Syrian language, for they understood it, and that they shouldn't speak in the Jewish language because the people that were on the wall would hear it. But he was such a rude character, he wouldn't even give in to this, but he cried in a loud voice to the men on the wall. He spoke to them and he wanted them to give up. He wanted them to mutiny. Surrender, he said, and come over unto us, he says, and make an agreement with us, he says, and I'll take you into a country just like your own, and I'll give you all the land that you need, and you'll have vineyards and everything that would be pleasing if you'll only give up. He tried to make these people that they would surrender to him and not listen to Hezekiah. For he said, do not listen to Hezekiah. Have these gods of these other countries and of these other cities, have they delivered them people out of my hand? Have I not entered into their cities and taken everything that they have? Where are the gods of these countries? And do you think that this God that Hezekiah worships, and whom he has taken the high places away and he has told the people to come back to Jerusalem and worship before that altar, do you think that that God is able to deliver you out of my hand? Have I come up myself? Has not the Lord even sent me and said, come and destroy this city? This is the way this man railed upon Hezekiah, upon the people in the city of Jerusalem, and upon the men on the wall. He tried to dishearten them. And my hearers, when they departed to go back to fight against the enemy that had invaded their country, they railed more and more upon Hezekiah and upon the people. And they sent letters to Hezekiah stating that he should not think, because that they left for a while, that they wouldn't come back and take his city. And now these three men, they came to Hezekiah, and they told Hezekiah all the words of Sennacherib, which he had spoken by the mouth of Rabshakeh. And now we find that Hezekiah, and he tears his clothes in token of humility, in token of an abasement, and he sends men to Isaiah and tells them to speak unto Isaiah the words that Rabshakeh had said, and to entreat Isaiah to pray unto the Lord for them. And Hezekiah, he takes the letters and he enters into the house of the Lord. And Hezekiah, he spreads the letters before the Lord, and he begins to pray unto the Lord. Oh, this God that Rabshakeh and Sennacherib had railed upon, he addresses him as that great God, the God of Israel, the God who had created the heavens and the earth, who was the maker of it all. The God who had been reproached and who had been railed upon by Sennacherib and Rabshakeh. And it is true, he said, Lord, he has invaded all these countries and he has cast these gods into the fire, because they were no gods, they were but wood and stone. But oh, wilt thou not deliver us and reveal unto the nations that thou art the true, the living God? This was the contents of the prayer of Hezekiah. And as he prayed, my hearers, God heard him in heaven above. It was for the honor and for the glory of God that he was praying. It was God's honor that was at stake. It was as much as if this enemy had said, this God that you worship, he's no different than these idol gods. He can't help you. He can't deliver you. You needn't put your trust in him. You needn't think that he's going to bring you out of this, what I've brought you into. And now God had heard this railing, and God likewise sends Hezekiah an answer. But we find Isaiah sending word back to Hezekiah that God had heard his prayer again, and that God would defend this city, that this enemy that was outside of this city, he would not put his foot into it. He would not shoot an arrow into it. He would not bring a shield up against it. He would not cast a bank up against this city. For I will defend this city for David, my servant's sake. All this God then answered immediately unto Hezekiah. Oh, in this, my hearers, there are spiritual meanings. This city is a type of the soul of each and every one of God's children. And this Rabshakeh and this Sennacherib are a type of the devil and the enemies of the church. Oh, did this Rabshakeh rail upon God? And did he try to make these people give way and surrender to him? So the enemy, the devil and sin, the world, they are busy trying to get the souls of the children of God to cause mutiny, to desert God, to forget about him and to leave him and not to put their trust in him. And there may be some soul here who's surrounded with so many enemies, and there's so many voices inside saying, there's no use you praying. There's no use you trusting that God's going to deliver you. Oh, look at all those people that are dying every day and they're lost forever. You think that you're going to be saved? Do you think he's going to deliver you? Are you any different than them? Them voices are speaking inside, just like Rabshakeh. Oh, and the poor soul, oh, it has no faith. It has no expectation. Sometimes it fears that it's going to give in. But all Hezekiah, he spread the letter before the Lord. He said, Lord, hear, look, open thine ears and open thine eyes and see. And oh, sometimes the soul is given to go in secret and say, Lord, do hear, do look. I have so many enemies around about me. Oh, they want to take me away from thee. They want me to serve sin, to serve the world again. And oh, I'm so weak and I'm so helpless, Lord. And oh, I am sure the Lord will never let you sink so. Oh, you know it may be in your soul like it was by David. He says in Psalm 42, they were always saying inside, where is thy God? You don't see nothing no more of that God that was so good to you in the beginning. Oh, that God who you had communion with, that God who helped you so wonderfully. And now they say inside, where is thy God? David had the same trouble. But all he could say, why art thou cast down within me, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for he shall surely help you. He will deliver you soul. He will not let you sink under all your sins and all the enemies round about you. He did not let Hezekiah be deceived in this matter. He did give an answer to him. And we read that that very night, right after Isaiah sent the word back to Hezekiah that God had heard his prayer and that God would defend the city, then God sent an angel, and an angel came and destroyed 185,000 Assyrians. In one night, this great army was routed. It was defeated. 185,000 dead corpses the next morning. God didn't need Hezekiah. God didn't need any man to help him. God just sent one angel. He sent an angel in the land of Egypt, and he destroyed the firstborn throughout the land of Egypt. And he sent this angel, and he destroyed 185,000 Assyrians. How did this take place? Aren't you wondering? What happened? What caused all these people to die in one night like that? Why, there's about five different interpretations, my hearers. Some say that they died of a pestilence that came upon them suddenly. Some say they got some kind of a disease in the land of Egypt where they were, and from this disease they immediately die. Some say there came a wind called the Simoon. This wind is a suffocating wind. Wherever a man or a beast is, and they have their face towards this wind, they immediately suffocate and die. Probably you never heard of this wind. I didn't either. I read about it in the book. But I was speaking to someone in the factory who was in Africa during the war, and he said, we were warned, he says, by the officers in the army, he says, to have a mask, he says, to carry a towel with us, because, he says, this wind came, he says, and you would die immediately. We were told, he says, to turn around, he says, when the wind began to blow, or otherwise, he says, you would be gone. So it is a true fact that this wind, this Simoon, is a deadly wind. I have read where it has taken 20,000 people in 1 hour. They just fell down dead immediately. What a wonderful thing it is that we don't have any winds like that in this country, don't you think so? What makes us to differ? They have these things out in the eastern part of the world. And now, the Targum, the Jewish writings, they say, the Lord, the written word, he sent an angel, Gabriel, and he sent a thunderstorm, and they were all killed by lightning. This is the Jewish writing of this incident of 185,000 Assyrians being smitten in one night. Now, any one of these interpretations can be taken, my hearers, and you wouldn't be wrong in thinking about it, because God is able to do far above what you or I can possibly think or speak of. But God delivered the city out of the hand of the Assyrians. Oh, God revealed that he was God, and he will deliver you, soul. Oh, no matter how many enemies may come up against you, oh, you are in the hands of the good God. I would say, people, seek this God. Seek the God of Hezekiah. He prayed to him, and he answered him, and he helped him in all his troubles, and he is still the same God. Oh, he is well worth seeking, my hearers. May you be given to do so. And now we find that Hezekiah, he remained king. And there came a time, the 15th year, that Hezekiah had to die. The time came that God took him away from being king. And this man, when he died, all Jerusalem and all the people round about, they all came up to Jerusalem to bury him. He was an honorable king. He had served God faithfully in his country. And they all paid the greatest homage and respect unto King Hezekiah. He was laid in one of the chiefest of the sepulchres of David in the city of Jerusalem. And this king then, he died according to the word of God. But he died in peace. He died calmly waiting and believing that Christ would come in the fullness of time, that Christ would pay the penalty for his sins which had been forgiven him. He had faith in the coming of the Messiah to believe that he likewise would be with him in glory above. And my hearers, there's a time coming for me and you that we have to die. Hezekiah died. He died in faith. He died and he went home to glory. How is it with you? What shall take place with you if you die, my hearers? Where will you go to? Have you ever put the question to yourself? Suppose death should come suddenly, quickly, and take me away. Oh, where will I spend eternity? There are only two ways, my hearers. The broad way which leadeth to destruction, and many there are that go in thereat. Oh, what millions of people are walking upon this broad way. The narrow way which leadeth unto life, and how few there be that are on this way. Oh, may it be your earnest prayer. Search me, O God, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And now after this king died, we find that a son of his became king, a son by the name of Manasseh. And this young man was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, only 12 years of age, and he became king. And now this young man, he was entirely different than his father. He was a son undeserving of such a father as Hezekiah. This Manasseh, when he became king, he began to do just the opposite from what his father had done. His father had tore down the high places and tore down all the altars and all the groves. And this young man began to build them all up again. How different was this Manasseh than his father? Now listen, here you have a son. He had a godly father. And you may be sure that this father took very good care to train his son in all the true religion of the Jewish nation. Or he was under strict discipline, you may be sure of that. And he was a son that had been prayed for many times. And there isn't a godly person in my midst that has children that don't bring their children to the throne of grace. And now, of course, Hezekiah knew not what this son would do after he died. And you don't know what your children are going to do either after you pass away. It may be that you grow up with your children, and what happens? Your children are so different than you. They are so disobedient. They won't listen no matter what you do to them. And they are a grief to your soul. I know they are. I have children, my heroes. I know how parents bleed inside when they see their children going the wrong way and doing the wrong things. Oh, they would like to snatch them from the fire. They would like to make them walk in the right way. But oh, no matter what we do, how we pray, how we entreat them, oh, while they're small, we can manage them yet. But when they get a little older, you'll find out if you have children, my hearers, then they begin to talk back to you, and they begin to have their own wills and their own ways, and you can't do anything with them. That's the way children are, my hearers. Manasseh was that way. When his father died and he became king, he did just the opposite from what his father did. He broke everything down that his father had built it up. And oh, he was an awful boy. Oh, he built groves and he built altars in the house of the Lord where the Lord had said his name would be. And he planted also two altars in the courts of the Lord. And then he sacrificed to Balaam and he listened to the birds that cried and he gave ear unto wizards. Oh, this man Manasseh, he gave also his sons unto the fire god, Molech. He even offered his sons up so that they would be burned to this idol god. This Manasseh, he was a terrible creature in the land of Jerusalem. Oh, what he didn't do, my hearers. The people that wanted to worship God and serve him in the right way, what a life these people had. You may be sure that they must have prayed many times that God would take this king away or otherwise give him a new heart. So many had probably pleaded that God would take him away and kill him, for that's what he deserved. And we find that the people who worshiped God, they had no life even in Jerusalem. Why, it says that he filled Jerusalem from one end to the other with guilty blood. The commentary says it's only a conjecture, it's only a thought that he took Isaiah the prophet, who faithfully warned him and spoke to him to the people that they should turn back to God, that he took this prophet and put him in the hollow of a tree and sawed him asunder. It is written in the Hebrews, some were sawn asunder, it says, and they apply this to this Manasseh, sawing this godly prophet Isaiah to pieces in the hollow of a tree. What a character this man was. And he wouldn't listen. No matter what they said to him, he went on in his own way. Maybe there's somebody in my midst that have done that too. Oh, I did it. We all do it. We've got our own way and our own will. We won't listen. No matter what father says or mother says, how they admonish us, on we go. And that's what Manasseh did. And my hearers, maybe you're doing that yet to this day. But listen, see what happened to Manasseh. When he wouldn't listen, then God brought the army of the Assyrians upon him. The army came in, and they took in the city of Jerusalem, and they captured him. He hid himself among the bushes, among the thorns in the garden. But they took him from among the thorns, and they bound him in iron chains, and they carried him away to Babylon. And they put him in prison in Babylon. They didn't put him in the palace with the king, but they put him in prison. And there he was in this prison. And I guess he thought, well, I'll just have to stay here and die here. But now while he's in this prison, my hearers, he has time to think and to reflect upon what he has done. And God shines down into this man's mind and into his heart with a wonderful light. And he gives him to see his sins, what he had done when he was king in Jerusalem. And all then Manasseh, this murderer, this sinner of the deepest dye, he, this creature, he had to do with this God against whom he had sinned. Have you ever had anything to do with this God, my hearers? And what did this man do, this murderer? He began to kneel down and he began to pray. What? Did that creature pray? That creature cried to God? You think God had listened to him? He saw the prophet Isaiah in pieces. He killed so many in the city of Jerusalem. He let their blood flow like water. Would God listen to something like that? Ah, oh, my heavens. We don't know that God in heaven above. You and I don't know him. You don't know how rich he is in mercy and grace, and that towards the greatest of sinners. Oh, you wouldn't think that God would listen to something like that, would you? You've seen a good person that lived a decent life, obeyed God as much as he could, and he got on his knees, you would expect God to listen to him. But you wouldn't expect God to listen to something like this, but he did. Oh, there's such encouragement here, my hearers, and that for the greatest of sinners. Oh, the marvelous grace of this God in heaven above. No sinner too great whom God won't listen to. Oh, we find that Manasseh began to pray to this God, and he was entreated of him. God heard his prayer. Oh, the sorrow, the grief, the humility that this man Manasseh experienced, it says, and he greatly humbled himself before the God of his fathers. He never humbled himself before. Who humbled him like that? It was only God that humbled him. God humbled him down into the dust, and God put a cry into his soul. He began to cry, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And this God in heaven above, he listened to him. He heard him. And he gave ear unto him. And we find that Manasseh, he was not only heard of God, he was not only forgiven of God, but God inclined the heart of the king of Assyria to liberate him, to bring him out of prison, and to send him back to his own country and put him upon the throne again, and to reign again over his people. Oh, can you understand this God, my hearers? Oh, the wonders of this God. This is written for our comfort and for our edification. Oh, it is written that no matter how great your sins and your iniquities may be, if you are given to humble yourself, to pray unto this God in truth and in sincerity, just as it is written of Saul of Tarsus, "Behold, he prayeth." If it can be said of you and I, "Behold, he or she prayeth," there's an ear in heaven that's listening to that prayer. Oh, my hearers, may I entreat you to pray to this God. Don't give up. Don't listen to the voices inside that say, "Ah, it's no use you praying. You ain't going to be heard anyway. You ain't going to be delivered." Continue. Persevere therein, my hearers. There's a God that hears and answers prayer. He heard this great sinner Manasseh, and he put him back on his throne. My time is gone. I'd like to continue and show you what happened to this man. What a reformation took place in his life and in his country, where God begins a work of grace in a person's soul. Next week, the Lord willing, we will pick up our lesson from this point. That's all today.